My name is Naomi Porter. I'm 13 years old. Today is June 8th, and I'm speaking with Don Moniger. We are recording this in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. First off, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood?
Well, I grew up in California. I'm a third generation Californian, a rare breed. I lived out in West Covina, which is at that time farming country. And we just had a great time. We had a great neighborhood. We were always out doing something. I mean, the kids were never inside. We just kept doing all kinds of things. Badminton at our house at night was the active thing to do, or kick the can, if you've ever heard of that. Yeah. And then we actually got the first television in the neighborhood. And so we'd all make popcorn and have Super Cola and watch TV at night occasionally. So that was kind of my childhood. I went to grammar school there. I went to high school there. And it was just a great group of friends, and it was fun to watch. I had a very close family, and so that was good. And my dad was active in city politics and stuff, so we were active in the community. And we started the first Presbyterian church in West Covina. It was a funny story. We met at the Japanese clubhouse, and it was a vote between Methodist and Presbyterian, and I ended up a Presbyterian by one vote. So it's just funny how things happen and how you get going. But in general, it was a lot of fun, a lot of friends, a lot of playmates, a lot of time outside. So that was the childhood. It was fun.
Okay. What toys did you play with?
I can think of two that come to mind. And I had a bunch of 4-inch trucks, little trucks. And I would disappear out into the yard somewhere and find a pile of dirt. And I would create a city, or I would create a fighting castle, or I would create something and play with those little trucks. And I think that was, I love to do that. I love to be creative. And I think just the ability and the time to do that was really fun. I had a lot of friends that were farmers and ranchers. I used to drive the cauliflower carts when they picked cauliflower. A friend of mine's dad built him a car when we were 8. Yes, I learned to drive when I was 9. And we used to drive all through the orange groves and all through the cabbage patches and all kinds of things. You ran into an orange tree, it didn't damage much. So, but I think those are the things, just small little temple toys, but just out in the back creating things. We'd create forts, we'd create all kinds of things. I guess a lot of imagining playing, which was really fun. So, no complex toys like today. No right. Computers, no nothing really. We had the first television, and we got that when I was 8. Before then, there were no televisions either. So, in Los Angeles. So, it was interesting.
Cool. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult times in your life?
When I graduated from college, I also went through college on a Navy ROTC scholarship. You know what that is? That's the Navy paid for.
Oh yeah, they paid for
my education. And in turn, I became a Navy officer.
Really?
And I ended up spending 2 years in Vietnam, which was a pretty tough time. I mean, it was very dangerous, and we were getting shot at occasionally every day. And so I think that was, you know, it just woke me up. I lost some really good friends over there, and so that was a real issue. And probably the traumatic part of it is when I came home, I was not welcome home. I went from Vietnam to Harvard University, where I got in, and I did my graduate work at Harvard University.
Wow.
And in the first semester, the SDS, and probably don't know, the Students for a Democratic Society, raided the Harvard University and took over the campus. And they actually asked me as a veteran to leave because they were afraid the SDS were going to come after us or we were going to get in a fight with them. So it was pretty traumatic after spending 2 years getting shot at to come home and asked to leave. Yeah, that was a tough time.
Yeah. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
You know, enjoy life, but make sure you broaden yourself, because I think I was narrowed too quickly, you know, as far as professional careers and stuff, and take a lot of different courses. Don't try to emulate your parents. My dad was an engineer. I graduated in engineering. I think that's the key. Broaden yourself. Today you can travel more.
Yeah.
We traveled all over the United States as kids. My parents constantly took us everywhere. I've traveled all over the world as an adult. And I would just say to any of the kids, the more you can live and travel in other places, the more your mind broadens, the more you get to understand what the world is. And take courses that are just crazy, that you think, oh my God, how can I take this? It doesn't make any sense for me. Because those kind of teach you maybe who you are.
Right.
I was way too programmed. I was quote unquote smart in math and smart in engineering, and I should be that, and that's what I should do, and I was always predestined. And that is where I ended up, by the way. But I think that's would be my advice. And just enjoy life a little more. Don't just live it.
That's good advice. Okay. Tell me about the most important lessons you've learned in life.
Make sure you do something that you're excited about and you have a passion about. Don't just work. Now, that's easier said than done, and with courses and everything else. But I think you get trapped in a humdrum of just making money and working hard. And by the way, I mean making money to pay for 3 kids and a few things like that. And you just get overwhelmed, and it can overwhelm you. And it can get, you know, you need to have a passion for what you're doing. And I think I'll talk a little more about that in a while. But I think that's what I would say. And learn to help others, because most people don't realize that. At first, you do after time. By helping others, you really help yourself more.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. Again, just enjoy life. Enjoy life, don't just live it. And I think that's probably the most important thing.
Okay, what are you proudest of professionally and personally in your life?
Well, I strongly believe creating jobs is that's the best thing I did, okay? I created, I ran some big companies. My biggest pride was creating a company. We started with 20 men and grew to a company of about 250 all over the world. And creating jobs for people, I think, was a big deal. It made a big difference because a job gives a person value, it gives a person the ability to take care of their family. It gives them all kinds of great things. And also, making sure you help people who had a problem. 10% of our workforce were felons, which is interesting. That proved to be immensely successful.
Really?
And we were very, you know, lucky to have those people. And they were honest with us, and we were honest with them. And I think that's what made it a success. But I just think my success was creating jobs for other people. I spent a lot of time mentoring. I worked at universities. I mentored a lot of young kids in the industry I was in. I actually still mentor kids today. And I think that's probably the biggest, the most proud of is helping kids get their ground, being a sounding board for them, and doing it. One of my projects now is my wife and I are putting Cambodian through college. And he has no parent, you know, one parent, but no father was killed. And I spent a lot of time correcting his papers and mentoring him. FaceTime is fabulous because you can do it free over the phone. So I think just doing things like that is what I'm most proud of. The other one is our family. Our kids have been very, very successful. That's not been easy always. We have 3 kids. Mm-hmm. And none of them went on our company business, by the way. We decided that they should do their passion and not mine. We thought that was very, very important. Our oldest daughter, art history major at Dartmouth and Harvard MBA.
Wow.
And as a consultant to the arts, she's head of strategic planning for Boston Museum of Fine Arts at one point. She consults for symphonies and all kinds of different groups like that. So a very different role. Our second one, and I've been a mentor to her, our second one is a veterinarian in Park City. She's the charger, get out of her way, you get run over. She now has 5 vets and 25 techs working for her.
Wow.
She has a drugstore in there. She has a chemotherapy unit, she has a surgical unit, she has a dental unit, and she has a spa. Church, I met this massage therapist, and she said she worked for my daughter, and I said, well, that's great. And she says, no, I'm a massage therapist for her daughters, for her customers. But I think, so very different. Our son is a family therapist.
Okay.
He went to school of music, and then he has a master's in family therapy. He deals with addiction and post-traumatic syndrome. So 3 very vastly different kids doing very different things.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time helping them, taking care of 6.5 grandchildren. soon to be 1 is going to be added.
Yeah.
And we have 6 granddaughters and 1 grandson. And we travel with them. We travel overseas with them. We travel a lot here. We have Camp Granny Janny, which is my wife, Janny,
yeah,
here. And so we spend a lot of time on that. So I'm proud of those 2 things, I guess, creating a family and creating business and jobs.
Cool. Okay. What regrets do you have in your life, if any?
Well, I think doing things I really wasn't passionate about. I talked about that earlier,
yeah,
and I think that's a big deal. But, you know, sometimes you, when you got 3 kids, you have to make a living, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But I don't think I really enjoyed myself till later on I realized that I wasn't an engineer, I was a marketing guy. And when I owned my own company, I could do that.
Right.
I became very successful at it, whereas an engineer, I was fairly mediocre because I just didn't, you know, like
that.
And I think that's... I didn't learn that quick enough, and I assumed that everybody else knew what I should do, and that wasn't necessarily true. The other thing I would say, don't just live life, enjoy life. I occasionally stop and go, oh my goodness, what just went by? Did I really enjoy that? And I think occasionally you just run through things at 90 miles an hour. I'm an A personality, okay, so I'm going 90 miles an hour all the time, but I think slowing down and catching one's breath and understanding what they're doing is probably the biggest thing I would change.
Okay, cool. What important lessons has your religion, Christianity, taught you?
Helping others. I think that's probably sums it up very simply. We did a lot of things in the church, and that's where we focused. Am I a terribly religious, quote-unquote, theoretician? The answer is no. But I am very adamant on working with others and helping others. When Jan and I were first married, we ended up the sponsors of the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade youth group at St. Peter's. We had 75 kids in the group.
Wow.
We took them to Mexico to build houses,
yeah,
for a week. The junior high, not the high school. This is the junior high.
Yeah, junior high does that this year. I went on it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just, that just kind of said what we like to do. And I think that's what Christianity has taught me is just the theory of helping others. I was once talking about different religions. We just finished a course on religions.
Right.
And, you know, Buddhism worships the past and worships, you know, Christianity focuses on the living and the people and helping them, and I think that's where I would put it.
Cool. How has St. Peter's been a meaningful place for you?
Well, it's been a significant part of our lives. We arrived the same time as that building over there, 1970. And as I told you, Jan and I sponsored the youth group. That was a big deal. Probably one of the biggest deals is when you're first married and you develop a group of friends that you have kids together, you play together, you have traumas together, you have all kinds of things. Well, that was a group called the Boomers. were baby boomers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a group of 40 people that belonged to this church. And we started in 1970. And just recently we had our 45th reunion. People came from all over the country. And I think that's why it was so important to provide a group to help each other. When my wife broke her wrist, everybody gave us meals for 30 days. We had a babysitter that came in because we had a 7-month-old, you know, and we got somebody from here. Two of the senior high kids helped us every day with, you know, just before I got home, because my wife couldn't lift anything. She crushed her wrist. She crushed her wrist roller skating with the youth group. But I think that's the point it all themes around. But so that was very close, and today we have still have very good friends from that group. So it played a very important, it was kind of the center of the society for our kids and us when we had a young family.
Great. What changes do you see for kids growing up now in contrast from your childhood?
Life is going very, very fast. And I know that I'm a computer nut, okay? I own iPads, iPods, whatevers. I like computers and I use them and I do everything with it. But it can freneticize your life if you're not careful. And I think I'm concerned about that. Our grandkids, they have so much screen time and then it's banned, which I think is very, very good. I think it's perfect for that. I think kids seem to be very programmed. Both parents tend to work.
Yeah.
When we were young, that was not the case. I worked, my wife luckily was able to stay home. She had a part-time job when the kids were young. She ended up having 3 jobs after that, and you'll talk to her next.
Yeah.
But the point is the kids are too programmed. I find our grandkids are, we're lucky if we can find a week in the summer to get them to come visit, because they're at horse camp or volleyball camp or play camp or soccer camp or something. And I as I told you, when I was young, I went out in the backyard with my little toys, figured out what to do. And I think that creates some creativity that I get concerned I don't see as much now. I lived in Japan and Asia a lot, and they're very programmed there, and I don't think they have the creativity because of it. So I guess I would just say a little boredom's not bad as long as it's focused on creativity. I think the neighborhoods are not as free to run around as they were when I was young. That was a big deal. I mean, my parents rang a bell when it got dark and I came home. They had no idea where I was in the neighborhood. I was at one of my friend's house.
So right.
You know, but that's where we were. It's where the volleyball game or the 7-Up baseball game was or something was. And it was very easy to do. And I think concern for safety that way is more of a big deal. We just didn't worry about that. I didn't have to worry about it as much. So I think that's probably the biggest change, so it's made a big difference.
Right, okay. And then you'd like to talk about...
Yeah, I added one because a big part of life is aging or retirement.
Right.
And people forget that today, that's a big deal. I didn't retire until I was 71, by the way. So it's a little less maybe of a deal for me than other people. But I think the key is it's a... You know, you plan to go to college, and you plan for a career, and you plan to high school. You need to plan retirement, too.
Right.
And actually, I met with a counselor, and we talked about it. Because you have to remember, I was running a big company, and all of a sudden it went to zero in one
right.
fell swoop. I sold the company. So, but I think the key is stay active mentally and physically. Because that just keeps you healthier and you feel better mentally and physically. We have a trainer I'm not trying to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm just trying to get out of a chair. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we were, as I told you earlier, we're, my wife and I are students at UCLA.
That's fun.
And my wife teaches 15th Street School. I'm on the board of Volunteers of America. Have you ever, LA, have you ever heard of that?
I don't think so.
Volunteers of America LA deals with all kinds of issues in Los Angeles. We have 200 facilities and 2,000 employees. We do all the homeless shelters for the veterans.
Oh.
We do all the homeless shelters downtown. We do prison release programs, gay, lesbian, transgender programs, slavery programs, gang programs. We do. We have 60 Head Start programs we run. And so it gets me in the community and gets me active and gets me out and doing things. And I think adding value, some people don't like it, but it makes me feel better. We teach in Cambodia. My wife go and I go to Cambodia. You can call that my Vietnam guilt if you want to. The war was not really a good idea.
Yeah.
And having been involved with it for 2 years, you know, that's very traumatic. So the point is we go over and help in Cambodia and help to rebuild it. And we teach English, we help in an orphanage over there building parts in it. And again, we have one person in college and we hope to have two more next year that we pay for. And I do all kinds of crazy things I've never done before. We take courses at UCLA and it's with the kids. It's interesting. I took a course in Chinese history and one of the kids in there was from China.
Really?
And he was struggling in a business course, so I ended up being his tutor. So I helped him after class with his business every day. So those are fun. My sister harassed me because I take photographs, and she said, you don't understand content and color. And so here's the old engineer. I went to the PV Art Center, and I'm on my third course in painting. I have, it's funny because I have myself and eight women were in the first class, ages 85 to 16. But the point is, it's doing something unique, and it's things you kind of wanted to do but never had a chance to do. And I think by planning those things and planning what to do, you know, if you don't do that, I'm not a golfer, or I can't because of breaking hands, skiing
right.
And stuff. But I think staying busy and staying active is very, very important. And it's a long period of time, it can be. It's a life, you know, it's a long period. And I think it's something that people need to realize and plan for and deal with and make it fruitful.
Right, okay, cool. And then can you tell me about a memorable story you have about your life?
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'll use our grandkids. After being in Vietnam, I really wasn't too anxious to go back, but my daughter decided that was a good idea, my oldest daughter, Courtney. And so we went with our granddaughters, and we did a kids trip to Vietnam. So instead of going back and reliving the bad part, I went back and relived all the new things. We made pottery in Hanoi. We, in Hoi An, we went out and caught our own fish and caught our shrimp and went to the markets and bought our vegetables and went to cooking school. In Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, whatever you want, we rode bicycles 10 miles down in the Mekong Delta. And I met an old friend, a former Vietnamese officer. And he and I sat and talked for a while, and then he introduced all the grandkids to the 10 different kinds of fruit he grew in his orchards. So I think things like that are very memorable and something special to share. And sharing it through their eyes gave me a different, you know, positive situation. So I think that was probably one of the best ones I've got.
Cool. Is there anything else you would like to share or reflect on about your life?
No, it's been busy and it's been doing a lot of things. We travel a lot, by the way. In my business, I travel about 150,000 miles a year. I spent a lot of time in Asia, about a month a year in China, so I got to know China very well. I will brag a little if I can. I was on the advisory board for the Federal Reserve Bank, and that allowed me to meet and work with a lot of significant people. I won an award from the President of the United States for creating one of the fastest growing exporting companies in the United States. So that was exciting to go to Washington and be able to get that award. I think it allowed me to do something. So, and then I was on the President's Small Business Committee. So I got to go to the White House. This is during Obama.
Yeah.
And so that kind of stuff was exciting. So I guess that was an exciting event, that probably the most exciting event.
Cool. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Okay.